Let us pray.
Father, I pray that you place your Holy Spirit in and upon each one of us. And God, give us the grace and the discipline, the initiative to set our minds on the Spirit, that they would be life and peace. And Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would apply this word to our hearts, to our souls, to our lives, with full power and conviction, that we would be transformed into the image of Christ and walk in faith. Amen. What the heck is going on? Isn't that what we want to know? On the way to a men's conference a couple weeks ago, my son Jack and I listened to an audiobook called Cracker, The Best Dog in Vietnam. And it was about a soldier and an army dog in Vietnam. And in the chaos, the destruction, the suffering, and the fear of war, the soldier, who was named Rick, quite often would just cry out aloud to anyone, "What the heck is going on?" Well, I thank God that we're not in such a time like the war in Vietnam. However, we are in a season of chaos, a season of destruction and suffering, of a lot of fear and anxiety. If we've been involved with life at all, we've likely asked more than once, "What the heck is going on?" And just as likely, nobody has answered that question satisfactorily. Nobody seems to know the right answer. The resurrection of Lazarus from the grave, the gospel story today, ought to also make us stop and wonder, what the heck is going on here? And that response, being like what we ask in the face of this present crisis, might make us wonder if the story of Lazarus, what Susan just read, has anything to contribute about our question of what is going on today. In the crisis the world is experiencing, our faith is tested. Our faith in God's presence and activity, our faith in the relevancy and the power of God's word. Either our faith in God and in his word sustains our hope and our joy, our love, our commitments, and our approach to the world, or it fails and proves of little value in such a crisis. For Mary and Martha in the gospel story, along with the disciples of Jesus, they also must have wondered what was going on and how their faith had seemed to miss its aim and its target. For Martha and Mary, they wondered where Jesus was during Lazarus' sickness and death. Jesus was nowhere. He hadn't been heard from. And for his disciples, upon the news of Lazarus, he didn't seem to be bothered. And then they must have wondered when he decided to lead them back to the area of Bethany where the Jews had just tried to kill him, the religious leaders, a few days before. The statements by Thomas, his disciple, at his departure back to Bethany, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And then the statements by both Martha and Mary at his arrival in Bethany, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They both seem to resoundingly ask, "What is going on here, Jesus? What the heck is going on?" In the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, I believe there's at least 4 indications of what is going on and what Jesus is doing. And I also believe those translate to today and give us insight into what God is doing in the world today, in this season of our lives. The first indication of what the heck is going on is that this event, the raising of Lazarus, is for the glory of God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We may forget sometimes, even in the midst of our faith, that we are not the most important thing to God. There's no doubt that we are important as his creation, as people made in his image and likeness. He so loved us, each and every one of us, that he sent Jesus to die for us, that we might believe in him and have eternal life. But it is the glory and the praise of God, that is at the center of the universe and of God's existence and of creation. It's not humanity. It is the glory of God. All things exist for the glory of God. The work of Jesus glorifies God. In the visions of heaven that we have throughout Scripture, it is the glory of God about which everything in creation circles and to which everything in creation gives praise and honor and glory. They bow down and worship Him. So Jesus says flat out about Lazarus's illness and death when asked by his disciples what the heck's going on. He says, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This is God's priority, His glory. And what is going on in the story is that God is being glorified through the work of Jesus. And it so happens, by God's grace and in His goodness, that when God is glorified, when Jesus is glorified, people receive the blessing. A question for us is, can we have faith to believe today that in the midst of this crisis and all that is happening, that God is being glorified and that Jesus is working and bringing about glory to God? Can we make that our prayer? Even now, God be glorified in this crisis. Today, around the world, in our lives, and everywhere, may the name of Jesus be glorified. Even in the face of the impossible, Jesus confronts us and everyone just like He does Martha when He says to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Don't doubt that God's glory will be revealed and will prevail. The more we believe, the more we'll see. I know that, you know, for all of us, we want to be safe. We want to be secure. We want to be comfortable. We want to be well off in all of our ways. A greater purpose than those for God is that He would be glorified and that the name of Jesus would be lifted high. That must be our priority too. Jesus, let your name be glorified. The second indication from this story for then and for now is that the glory of God reveals His goodness and His salvation so that all people might believe and be saved to eternal life. The glory of God isn't just for its own sake. It is for the benefits of all creation. Jesus, to bring glory to God, does the work of raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. And He says, so that you may believe. So that you may believe. When Martha confronts Him and laments her brother's death that Jesus could have prevented had He been there, Jesus emphasizes to her that this death is not the end. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. This is extraordinary. You know, we hear this and we may think, oh yeah, that's what Jesus says. But this is remarkable and unbelievable. Except Jesus proves that it's true. Jesus is life over death. By believing in Him, even though we die in the flesh, as we all will eventually, we live. If we believe in Him, our true selves does not die but lives forever. And this, like I said, it would be unbelievable. Except Jesus proves that it's true. Right here, calling forth Lazarus from the dead. After 4 days, He proves that He is greater than death, that He is life, He is the resurrection, and He has power to give life to everyone who believes. And Jesus confronts Martha again and says, do you believe this? That's what it comes down to. Do you believe this? He's demonstrated the glory of God. Do you believe it? Are you willing to base your life on this truth? Will you devote yourself to this truth? That's what's going on in the gospel story. Jesus is showing his power to save and asking people to believe and put their faith in him. He even prays aloud to the Father, and he says that I say this aloud so that people might believe that I am the one, that you sent me into the world. Today, what the heck is going on? Perhaps Jesus is allowing this crisis to occur and continue so that people would turn to him and believe. Because clearly, this, among many other things, shows that we have no power to save ourselves. None of us can avoid death eventually. God is getting our attention so that we would believe in him as the only one who can save us and give us eternal life. It doesn't mean that God created this virus, but it does mean that maybe he's allowing it for a greater goal of people receiving eternal life through Jesus. Pray that people would believe in Jesus around the world, just like this. Father, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and turn their hearts to Jesus. Grant repentance and salvation throughout the world. And make sure that you are believing. Make sure that you are having faith in God through Jesus. The time that any of us has left on earth doesn't compare at all to eternity. Believe for your eternal life and pray for others to be saved. The third thing that's going on in this gospel story that I believe is relevant for us today is that the gospel story shows us that Jesus is involved with people. He's in the midst of the distress, the crisis, and the chaos, and the suffering. Jesus certainly could have healed Lazarus from the distance that he was when he found out. Just a word. He'd done it before. Speak the word, and he shall be healed. But he doesn't exclude himself from the midst of those who are suffering and those who are mourning. He goes right into it. In this case, allowing Mary and Martha to seize him with their grief and distress. Jesus is in no way unemotional or detached. He is fully God and fully human. And both of those elements in Christ are exquisitely displayed in the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Jesus comes into humanity's suffering, and he continues to be present among us today. In verses 33 and 38 of this chapter, John's gospel twice describes Jesus as being deeply moved. This could literally be translated as Jesus was snorting with anger. He was groaning while indignant. He was scolding against this situation. He was intensely emotional. The bottom line here is that Jesus is emotionally charged in a deep and profound way, in a deep part of himself, and he demonstrated it. In the midst of the mourning and the indignation that Jesus had, he wept. He was moved by the suffering of people. He was moved by the fallenness of the world and of creation. He was moved in his heart and in his gut. What is going on is that Jesus experiences intense empathy and compassion for people in their suffering. Today, what the heck is going on? Jesus is present with everyone who is suffering. He is present with everyone who is grieving, present with everyone who is frightened and anxious. He has compassion and great love toward all people. He's not distant from any of us. He's at hand. He's near that we might reach out to him. We might cry out to him. Now is a time when we, like Jesus, need to be equally moved to cry out to him, to cry out to God. Perhaps he's waiting for us to do just that. If you've not bared your soul to God and been praying earnestly to him during this time, why not? If not now, when? If not now to avail yourself of deep and earnest prayer to God, then when? He's present to hear you. He's present to respond to your prayers. The last thing I want to touch on, what's going on in the Lazarus story and today, is that Jesus is destroying the power of sin, the power of death, and the power of Satan. Jesus is overcoming the curses of sin and death that bind people to Satan and oppression. Jesus absolutely hates sin and death. Jesus hates sin and death. He hates what it does to people. He hates the curse of suffering. And he's not passive against the enemies of God and those things that he hates. He actively overcomes them. Lazarus is bound in death. He's bound to the curse of sin, that is death. As in his life, he was bound to darkness and the power of Satan. And Jesus, through his calling Lazarus forth, yanks him out of death's grasp, sets him free from the snare of the enemy, frees him from the trappings and oppression of Satan. Jesus demonstrates that he's Son of God and also Son of Man, meaning he's among us, meaning he has the same passion for victory that we have. He likes to win. And his battle is life and death. And it's for eternity. The story of Lazarus being called from the grave is an example of Jesus winning a victory over his enemies. And in fact, stomping on them. Jesus says, "Move the stone, Lazarus, come out. Come out here. Unbind him. Set him free." This is a victory for Jesus. I'm sure he shouted hallelujah. And all the people rejoiced and celebrated. What's going on today? Jesus is winning. He's saving people every day from the bondage of sin and death. He's setting them free from their oppression and delivering them from the devil's grasp. Suffering and death, they are not the end because Jesus wins. They are grotesque enemies that Jesus continues to conquer today and for eternity. The resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which we will celebrate in a couple weeks on Easter, it's manifesting today. Though we may not see it on the news, it's not the front page or the headline. Have faith that today Jesus continues to conquer death. He continues to conquer sin. He continues to conquer the enemy Satan. And pray that Jesus would completely conquer this sickness around the world, the fear and the anxiety that's associated with it, and demonstrate his victory for all to see. He can do it. Maybe he's encouraging us to believe for it. Maybe he's waiting for his perfect timing. Maybe he's accomplishing his purposes now throughout the world in the midst of it. He has the power to do what he wills. And we know that he responds to our prayers. So we can pray throughout this, like this: Jesus, accomplish your victory. Destroy the power of this sickness. Remove it from the face of the earth. Banish fear and anxiety. Overcome death. Bring newness of life among all people. And pour out your spirit upon the world and bring renewal. Bring salvation. Bring victory. Today, we're looking for wins that matter, that are life and death. I love sports and love to watch sports. But it's been a few weeks since I've watched any. And it's kind of surprising to me how, honestly, I haven't missed watching sports that much. Because the focus has been on greater battles. Battle for life, for health, for civility and lawfulness, for businesses, for healthcare workers, even for food and for freedom and for the sanctity of life and for people repenting, turning to Jesus, and receiving eternal life. Now we're cheering for rescue and for salvation. And it's our responsibility to believe that Jesus is winning and will win ultimately and to live like it. What the heck is going on? Ultimately, the answer to the question is Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. and his kingdom is everlasting, and his kingdom will conquer everything outside it. What's going on is that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And it is real and it is spectacular. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Yes, Jesus is the victor. And he looks in triumph upon all of his foes. Amen.